So I wanted to just open up this evening, and we're going to be sharing again, as I say, these few lessons that we've been doing on being an overcomer. You've already overcome. Why? Because he's in you, and he overcame. And so I wanted to open up. When somebody overcomes something, that means that you've gained superiority over something. You've conquered something. You've defeated something. So when we say you are an overcomer, you're really quoting scripture. I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me. I overcome. In Revelations, it says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we've already come. Why? Because it's no longer I that live, Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I overcome not in my own ability. I couldn't. There's no way. This person, you know, each of us, we can't overcome in our own ability and own strength, but it's Christ in us that gives us or releases his presence and power in us to overcome every obstacle in life. So that means when we look at that and we meditate upon that, I cannot be defeated. I can't be defeated because Christ was not defeated. And so his ability is in me. And the more that becomes real to us, then the obstacles and situations in life become, we view them differently. It doesn't mean that they're comfortable. It doesn't mean that you even enjoy. It says when we fall into diverse situations and temptations, as the scripture says in James, it says as we are surrounded, you know, it says you're confronted on every side through with these types of things in life. But it also says that be of good cheer and to because he's overcome it. So we need to have a different perspective, a different view, and how do we have that? Through the Word of God. And knowing who we are in Christ. So let's open up this evening and look at a familiar scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 17 through 21 in the New Living Translation. Just as a basis to start this evening, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, see, do you belong to Christ? I do. And it says here, it has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. You know, we always like to say, you know, if you were short, you're still short. If you were tall, you were still tall. If you had a different structure in your body, it didn't change. So it didn't say the old life is gone. You know, your person, your outward visage is still the same. But what do we mean like when it says the old life is gone? This old nature, this old person that was in me, the spirit of a man has been made brand new. And it says a new life has begun. And it goes on to say in verse 18, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself, how? Through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. So we're all ministers of the gospel. We're ambassadors for Christ. And it goes on, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. And it says God is making what? His appeal through us. So if he's making his appeal, what does he say? We speak for Christ. What does it say? We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with him, or be made right with God through Christ. So we've been made right, or the righteousness of God, how? Through Christ Jesus. So we are his ambassadors, we're his representatives, and we are appealing to the lost, to those that don't know him, with this wonderful message that God's not mad. He's reconciled you. He's paid for the debt of your sin, and he's not holding anything against the world. And so this is our responsibility, is to be a representative, to be an ambassador for Christ, to go into all the world, wherever you are in life, and share this good news. So we're to be a reflection of him. What did he do? We know from chapter 10 and verse 38, it says how God anointed who? Jesus of Nazareth. Who did? God did. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, what did we just get done reading here? It said that God is in us. He's made us a new creature. So God is with us. And we've been commissioned to go into all the world and do what? Do good and heal the sick and make disciples of all men. So we are his representatives, and we are anointed of God to go into this world and to do good, not fuss with one another, not be divided, but to be in unity with one another and doing good for the kingdom of God. And as this message is tonight, it's we're to walk even as he walked. How is that? Doing good. Going into all of this world, doing good, and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. Casting the devil out of people. Setting them free. Well, you know, Jesus already has defeated the devil, but we need to enforce that, or to be his representatives, to walk in the authority that's been given us. And that is what? That authority is to walk into this earth and to exercise this authority and to push back the darkness that's held sway in this area that we live in, or the area that you live in. So there was a divine exchange, we could say. And so John 16:33 in the Amplified Translation, it says here in verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations, or frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of what? Power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. So as his representatives, there should be nothing that should hinder us. Yes, the devil comes, he tries to stop us, he tries to make a lot of noise, He goes about as what? A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But he can't devour us because what? We just read this here. Jesus said, I've deprived him of the power to harm you. So he may talk loud. He may even woof loud, but he's shooting blanks, as they say. He's issuing woof tickets that he can't push on us because what? We have Christ living in us. And when we believe that and speak that, it activates the power of God that goes into operation. And so the devil doesn't see us. He sees Christ in us. You know, I share sometimes that experience I had where somebody got up in my face and beat their chest and said, the devil lives in here. And he was this person was about 5 or 6 inches off my nose. And I share this. It was that experience was like yesterday. And it was like a coat rested. It just instantly came upon me. And up out of my spirit rose these words. I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I said, I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. It was instant. It came right up out of my spirit. And that person turned and walked away. Well, why did they walk away? Because they didn't see me. They saw the word of God. They saw Jesus in me. And they had to turn around and leave. So I'm certainly not suggesting that you go around and do those kind of things. I didn't even think about doing that. It happened so it happened instantly. And so all I'm sharing is that the devil is defeated. And he does not have the power to harm you because Jesus said he deprived him of the power to harm you and has conquered it. He's conquered it for you. Talking about the world. Now, Jesus said here in, Paul wrote in Romans, and the New Living Translation, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, when our conscience and our spirit has been made right with God, then we have what? Confidence towards him. And we can speak as his representatives with authority and confidence. And Romans 8:1 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been freed from the devil's grip or hold in our life. Christ has broken the power of sin in our life. How did he do that? He made my spirit brand new. He put his very presence in me. He came in and took up residence. So it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So with that, I have confidence in him, in Christ. And 1 John, and this is in the Passion Translation, 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7, it says, this is the life-giving message which we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you, God is pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, It says what? We share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin. So we are to walk even as he walked. He walked in unbroken fellowship with his Father. Jesus said in John 17, he said, as I am in you and you in me, said, be also in them, and that we would be one, just as they would be one, just as we are one. And so we can see here that one of the ways that it says here, if we keep living in the pure light. Pure means there's nothing added. As they say, there's no admixture. There's nothing to dilute this or make it impure. It means it's absolute. That means it's an absolute. There's nothing added to it. It's pure light. There's no darkness in him. And that means if there's no darkness in him and he's in us, that means there's no darkness in us, in our spirit. There is no darkness in us. So that means in order for us to have what? Unbroken fellowship with one another, that means that we have to then look at the commandment that we were given. Jesus in John, spoke in John 13, verses 34 and 35, he said, so now, this is in the Passion Translation, John 13, 34 and 35, it says, so I give you now a new commandment, love each other just as much. Boy, you think, well, how am I going to love my brother just as much as God loved me, it says, just as much as I've loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. So now when we talk about walking even as he walked, this is where I want to land on this evening, is walking in love towards each other. Because the scripture says here that the world will know that we are his disciples by the love that we have for each other. And so as we walk in love, it is walking in the light. What does the scripture say? God is light. He is pure light. But also in 1 John it says God is love. So when we walk in the light, we walk in the love of God, and it is possible because he has come into us and broken the power of sin that would cause us to not walk in love, to walk fleshly, to walk carnal. And how are we going to be able to do that? By feeding on the Word of God and acting on the Word of God, which causes what? The love of God to then operate in me. So it gives me, when I act, even when you may not want to act in love, when you decide, I'm going to do what God said, I'm going to love when I don't want to love, in my own nature, in your own human nature, you in your soul, you may not want to. But when you decide to, that's when the power of God is released and you begin to operate in his ability to love someone that's not lovable, to love someone that in your own flesh, you don't want to. But this is where we get what we have to change our thinking. I'm not operating in my own ability. I'm operating in his ability. And this is what we want to see. The God wants to be seen through us in this world. And this is really, when you look at this, let's take a look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. when we connect this here in the Passion Translation in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, you see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the what? The victorious power that triumphs over the world. So who are the world conquerors defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So what is this victorious power that triumphs? It's faith. And faith activates the love of God. Faith activates the power of God. So my faith has to do something that maybe in my soul and my flesh doesn't want to do, but faith believes the word of God. Faith believes, and faith operates by what? By love. And I love God more than my own feelings. I love God and want to do his will and to obey him because he first loved me. So when I have faith, what does that mean? I'm doing something that God has spoken in the word. That's faith. Faith believes and acts upon the word of God. And let's look at the Passion Translation. I want to hook this up in Galatians 2:20. And it says, my old identity. See, we're talking about this old man, this old identity. It says, has been co-crucified with Christ or with the Messiah and no longer lives, right? I'm a new man in Christ. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. See, this is what we've been saying. It's this new life is not mine. It's his presence. And what does it goes on? For the anointed one lives his life, how? Through me. See, it's I'm acting, but it's really his life that is propelling me to love. And he's living his life through me. We live in union as one. And this is in the Passion Translation, but in the King James, it says, you know, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And this continues. It says, my new life is what? Empowered. Oh, it's empowered by what? The faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing what? His life into mine. So it's no longer me. It's no longer me thinking, I'm so smart, I figured out how to do this. No, it's the wisdom of God. It's the love of God. It's the power of God operating in me and through me. So what is it? It's Christ in me being seen by this world. And this, when he begins to operate in and through me, what did Jesus say when all of they wanted to, you know, give him kudos for what he was doing, all the things he was doing, healing the sick, and he'd say, it's not me, it's my Father in me. He doeth the works. And so he always would do what? Give glory to his Father. And that's all Jesus is saying. He's saying, I want to operate in you. I know you don't have the ability to overcome these issues. I know you don't have the ability to heal the sick. I know you don't have the ability to cast out devils and demons and set people free. But I want to live my life through you to do what? To be seen by this world. And I also want you to what? When I live my life through you, then I will love through you. I will then that means that I can love others. I can love with his love. So this, you know, when we talk about this new life, let's take a look at Colossians. I know we've looked at this recently. And Colossians chapter 2 in the Passion Translation. And let's look at verses 14 and 15. And this talks about what he did, Christ did on the cross. And this in chapter 2 of Colossians, verses 14 and 15, it says, in the Passion Translation, it says, he canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. That means, you know, in the natural, when something can't be retrieved, that means it's expunged. It's erased. You can't find it. And it says, everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to do what? To accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. Glory to God. So when Christ has come into me, then this authority that was given to Christ has been given to me. He said it would be unjust of him to say, now you go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all men. It would be unjust if he didn't give us his authority, his ability, and the faith of the Son of God, and his presence, and his love. So he has empowered us with his presence and his love to go in and for him to be what? Seen through us. And so here, let's just take a quick look at Romans 5:17 in the Passion Translation. And let's take a look again at this. It says, death once held us in its grip. And by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now how much more are we held in the grip of grace? Boy. And continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. So we've been made right with God. We are kings, enjoying what? This regal freedom. We've been delivered from the what? The power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we've been given, because of this new life, we've been given a measure of the God kind of faith. This substance, as Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith, we've been given, as Romans 12:3 says, we've been given a measure of his faith. And so we know from the scriptures that this faith is what we're going to use to walk by faith and not by sight. We're walking in his ability. We're walking in his love. We're walking in his presence as we go about life. And doesn't mean that the devil's not going to throw up obstacles, but what does it say in Mark 11:22? Have faith in God. And then verse 23, it talks about, it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this obstacle, this you know, impenetrable thing that has been put in front of me. A mountain is something that looks like it can't be moved. But he said, we're to do what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Not talk about how big it is. Not talk about how it can't move. Not talk about how it can't change. It didn't say that. It said here, when something looks like it can't change, when something looks like it can't move, we're to speak to it in the authority that Christ has given to us. Because why? The devil's going to throw up obstacles, but his power has been defeated and deprived of him. And he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the mountains. I've overcome the obstacles. So he said what? He said, speak to them. And he said, if you believe and doubt not, the things that you say, he said, you'll have whatsoever you say. So for us, we are to speak. Faith is what? Voice activated. And so when we look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13 in the Passion Translation, it goes on to say, we having the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. Hallelujah. So we also first believe, then we speak. And we are, as the scripture says, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, what? Without wavering, because he is faithful that promised. Glory to God. So the things that God in this season, you know, the return of Christ is so close. And the season that we're in, God is asking us to do things that he's prompting us to do that can be hard in the flesh and in the soul. It can be difficult, but it's possible to do with his help. And so the church is, the more we feed upon who we are in Christ, the church is beginning to awaken to who they are in Christ, and they're awakening to this authority that they've been given, and they're beginning to begin to do what? Push back, and to push back the darkness that's held grip. Because what? Sometimes the church has looked and said, well, you know, we can't change this. I just sure hope God does something. No, he's living in us. We are to walk even as he walked. Now let's take a look as we close in these last few minutes. We need to take our place in Christ. We need to rise up and walk in faith and the authority that's been given to us. We are anointed with his ability and his presence to reach this world. Now, let's read John 17. You know, in the Passion Translation, John 17 in verses 17 through 23. When God says, when Jesus spoke through the disciples in 1 John, he said, God is what? When we were reading this before, God is pure light, and there's not even a trace of darkness in him. That means there's no darkness in me. So when we read John 17:17 in the Passion Translation, it says, your word is truth. So make them holy by the truth. Now verse 18, I have commissioned them to do what? To represent me just as you commissioned me to represent you. This is Jesus speaking this prayer, this heartfelt prayer to the Father. He's speaking, he's saying, I've commissioned them. He's talking about those that would come to know him. And he's commissioned us to represent him just as he was commissioned to represent the Father. And he says, and now I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice so that they will live as fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. You know, this is why when I read that verse and it says here, I dedicate myself to them as a holy sacrifice. What does the scripture say? What does that bring to mind? Let me just turn over there. I'm sorry for jumping here. I'll read it. They don't have to pull it up and we'll just continue. But when I read Romans 12 and it says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? You present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So here, Jesus said, I dedicate myself to them as what? A holy sacrifice, so that they will live as fully dedicated to God and be made holy by your truth. Verse 20, and I ask not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through their message. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together in one, as one. I pray for them to become one with us, watch this, so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so what? So that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me. For they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have loved for me. Boy, this is so powerful here, that when we walk in the unity of God, this is why when it says over in 1 John 1, it says, but if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. But this is saying here, for the very glory you have given to me, I've given to them so that they will be joined together. That glory, that presence causes us to be one. We are one in Christ. We are the body of Christ, and it's his glory, his presence, his light that has come into us. It's his spirit that has come into us. And so we are one in Christ, and we share unbroken fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us so that what? So that now the world can see and be convinced that you love us, that they can see the love that we have one for another, the unity that we have, and the world becomes convinced what? That he's in us, that he lives in us, that he cares for us. You know, when you go back and you look at the stories, what happened? Pharaoh began to become convinced, you know, and then he changed his mind. He said, oh, surely God is with them. Because he what? He protects them. And so here, when we walk in unity, when we walk in the love of God, God begins to what? Work in us. He protects us. He keeps us whole and healthy. He keeps us prosperous. But I can tell you that we cannot hold a root of bitterness. We must walk in the love of God. When there's bitterness, when there's hurt and anger in our hearts, it does what? It short circuits the love of God, and our faith doesn't operate. So I just share all of that to say the season that we're in, you know, the devil's turning up the heat, but we ought to be doing the same By doing what? Walking in the love of God, forgiving one another, and letting go of these things that maybe we were hurt by. Maybe it was another brother in Christ. You know, we've all had instances and circumstances where somebody said something or did something to us that maybe offended you. Well, you need to do what? Walk in the love of God and let the glory of God operate in and through us. And what does it say here? Let's go back and read verses 22 and 23 in John 17 in the Passion. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. That means walking even as he walked. And it says, you live fully in me. He's talking about the Father. And now I live fully in them, so that what? They will experience perfect unity. And the world will be convinced. I don't think right now the world is convinced. But I can guarantee you that when we walk in this glory and we walk in this unity, the world will become convinced. Because Jesus' word is what? Is truth. And it says that you have sent me. For they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. Meaning the same love the Father had for Jesus. The world will see that through our love for each other. Glory to God. So as we do, let me just read this one scripture here. In 1 John chapter 2, in the King James, I'll read it in a couple of verses, says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God, what? Perfected or matured. Hereby know we that we are in him. What? If we obey his word. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. How was that? His love for the Father. And let's, in the New Living Translation, it says, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. See, this is why when we look at Romans 12, chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can what? So that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's the perfect will of God? That we walk in love towards one another. Now let's look in the Passion Translation, starting again, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 through 9, or 10. Let's just reclose with this. 1 John 2, verses 5, starting in verse 5, it says, but the love of God will be perfected within the one who obeys God's word. We can be sure that we've truly come to live in intimacy with God. Not just by saying, I am intimate with God, but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old one that you have heard from the beginning, and you've already heard it. Yet, in a sense, it is a new commandment, as its truth is made manifest both in Christ and in you, because the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already blazing. Anyone who says, I am in the light, while holding hatred in his heart towards a fellow believer, is still in the darkness. But the one who truly loves a fellow believer lives in the light, and there is nothing in him that will cause someone else to stumble. So as we're closing here, we're just sharing that part of overcoming every obstacle that the world throws. Because remember, it says that Satan is the god of this world system. And this world system is not about loving one another. It's about, you know, and the devil is the god of this world. He operates through people, and I'm not saying everybody hates. I'm not certainly saying that. But in this world, it's not normal to see us love someone who doesn't like us or who doesn't love us. It's usually, I'm going to do something, I'm going to get even, I'm going to say something, I'm going to get back at them, I'm going to go after them, I'm going to sue them, whatever course of action one takes. It's about forgiving an offense, because there's no weapon that's formed against us that can prosper when we walk in the love of God. Glory to God. So we can overcome every obstacle in life if we first start walking in the love of God. Because when we do, it will not hinder our faith. It will not hinder the wisdom of God that operates in us. For the carnal nature is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace and life. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is the power of God. Your word is God, and your word is love, and your word does work in us. And as we operate and obey your word, the love of God is perfected in us, and we don't just say that we have intimacy with God. We actually do have intimacy with God by loving our fellow brethren. Glory to God. And Father, we thank you this day, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, before we receive our offering this evening, I'd like to just present an opportunity for those who may be watching or will watch or hear this message, that we want to give those that are viewing an opportunity to know Christ, not just to know him, that he comes and takes up residence in us, and his very life changes this person on the inside. And so if you would, you know, as the scripture shares with us, that if we believe, as scripture says, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall do what? Believe in your heart that God raised him or hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you don't know Jesus, or maybe you did, maybe you've confessed him, but you got away from Jesus, you got into living a life of sin, and you desire to come home, you desire to repent and ask him for forgiveness, then let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth to die for our sins, to take our sins and sicknesses upon him, and to bring them to hell. And I believe that he took my sins, took them to hell, and when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead. And I believe that I was raised to new life, and I am now seated in heavenly places with Christ. And I am redeemed, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and I ask you to come into my life, make something new of me, and I will live my life loving you and serving you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that simple prayer from your heart and you meant it, then reach out and let us know that you did that. You can either email us or write us or phone us. The information is on the screen, and we'll rejoice and send some information to you as to who you've become in Christ, because you've become a brand new person in Christ. He's come in. He's taken up residence. You know, I tell this story all the time. The day I got saved, you know, I was going to a particular church at that time, and this pastor, you know, I was, you know, the person that brought me to church brought me up and introduced me to the pastor. And the very first thing, he didn't say, "Hi, nice to meet you." You know, he looked at me, you know, steely-eyed, and he said, "Do you know Jesus?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Would you like to?" And I said, "Yes." And so I said a simple prayer. And I remember the rest of that day, you know, I like sports cars. And so I went home, I was working on my sports car, and I was doing something, and I'm telling you, the fire of God was in here. Something happened, and I didn't understand it. And I remember I had a foul mouth. I cursed a lot. And just, as I say, by association, hanging around people that did curse. But my spirit was regenerate. It was unsaved. It had the death of God. It had the death in it, not the life of God. And so the moment I prayed, the life of God came into me. And that cursing left. And I, from that day until now, I mean, yeah, you could mentally say a curse word, but I can't curse. It's not in me. Because why? I have a new spirit. I am a brand new person in Christ. Glory to God.